2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Prior to our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use the rebound technique. And, of course, on the board, I'm drawing a cross. And you'll notice I've got two circles there that run off from the cross. This represents, of course, the first issue in Christianity, and that is your salvation. So the second you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, at that moment in time, whatever that is, you're entered into the top circle, which is eternal security, and you cannot get out. This is a critical, fundamental doctrine, as we would say academically, Christianity 101. You're also entered into the bottom circle, which is filling of the Holy Spirit. We call that fellowship in time. So that happens. So if you're 12 years old, if you're 22, if you're 42, whatever that moment is, those are two of the 40 things that happen to you the second you're born again. How much faith do you have to believe the gospel, which is Christ died for your sins? If you can gin up in your soul 0.0000000, and I could say that for the next hour, but I won't, and then put a 1 on it, because that's a speck of faith more than none at all. If you can do that much with a hangover, you're in. That's it. And you're in the top circle, you're in the bottom circle, and that is irrevocable. The top circle is irrevocable. The bottom circle is revocable. So, the bottom circle, of course, you get out of that bottom circle pretty quick. Because the first time you commit your first sin after you're a born-again believer, a baby believer, you are put out of the bottom circle of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you're put into the cosmic system. And most Christians remain in the cosmic system their entire life on this planet. They never return to fellowship with the Holy Spirit because, A, they do not know how, and B, they don't want to know how. And so when you're in the cosmic system, you're basically under the mindset of the world, and Satan is the ruler of the world. So you'll fall for every gimmick that comes along, but you do not learn Bible doctrine. So obviously when you're born again, you're a baby. The Bible says that very clearly. You don't know anything. That's why we use that analogy. When you were born physically in this world, you didn't know anything. Nothing. You can emote, you can scream and yell and do all those things, but you have to grow up. Same with your spiritual life. God expects you to grow up to an adult believer. And you cannot do that without food. Babies can't grow up without food. You can't grow spiritually without food. What is your food? Your food is said to be the mind of Christ. And that, of course, is set out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, and Philippians 2, 5. That's your goal, is to take God's mind and put it into your mind. How do you do that? Well, first of all, we got to solve this problem. How do you get back from the cosmic system to here? And that, of course, is called the rebound technique. Many passages talk about that. It's in your book. 1 John 1:9 is a very lucid presentation. They're all lucid presentation, but it's a good presentation. It says that if we, these are believers, confess, that word is homologeo, which means to name or to cite a known sin, he is faithful and just, that's God the Father, to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's the key. That is the key. You're saved by grace. This is a grace process to get back here. You don't have to say, I'm sorry, I'll never sin again. You will. You don't have to make it up to God. You don't have to be a jackass. You simply name the sin. Illustration, you on the way to Bible class, you stop and you steal bubble gum from the gas station. That's a sin. It's called larceny. If the second you did that, assuming you're in the bottom circle, you're out. How do you get back in? Father, I stole bubble gum. You notice I didn't get all excited. I didn't get emotional. I didn't, wail and moan. I didn't count beads. I didn't try to make it up. I simply named the sin. Father, I stole bubble gum. Boom. I'm back in the bottom circle. So in our Bible class, we spend a few moments in silent prayer to give people an opportunity to utilize this technique. It's called filling of the Holy Spirit. The technical term is called rebound. You're rebounding. You're getting out of the cosmic system and you're getting into this bottom circle. That's where you want to be. You want to log as much time as you can in here, because you're going to get out over the course of a day. You might get out 100 times. I don't know, you know, what you're doing, but there's lots of sins. There's overt sins. There's sins of the tongue, gossip, maligning. There's arrogance. There's fear. There's anxiety. All sins. Guilt's a sin. Then there's sins of the tongue. You badmouth somebody. You do this. You do that. So sins are everywhere. All you got to do is think of one that you did, and all of them are bundled up together, and you're back in this bottom circle, ready to go again. So as I said, before we study the Word of God, because that's the spiritual food, that's how you grow from a baby to an adult. You can't grow without the food. The food is the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. Most churches don't. They feed you baby food, pablum. You're in the playpen of Christianity all your life. They don't know anything about this. Know nothing about it. They pervert it. You go to a third party, you tell them what you did, and they'll tell you to go do things, and that doesn't say that in the Bible. We're interested in what the Bible says, not what church traditions say, or not what mankind says. What does the Word of God say? And you'll notice if you're reading or studying the Bible under a pastor teacher that knows what they're talking about, you will soon discover that, my Christian background said this, this pastor says that. Well, somebody's wrong. Either they're wrong, or he's wrong, and you got to make a choice. And that's what life's about, choices. We all make choices. We have volition. So when you're exposed to the truth, you're either going to respond to the truth or you'll reject the truth. And again, it's not my job to make you do anything. My job is to give you information. What you do with it is between you and your Creator. So we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer giving you the opportunity to name any known sins to get back in that bottom circle before we study and start our study today. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering here to study your holy word this morning. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge by these things so we can fulfill the command you have given us to grow up to spiritual adulthood in Christ's name. Amen. So in this world, you're going to have anxiety and you're going to have adversity. That's inevitable. It's all around you. Anxiety, adversity, anxiety, adversity, double A's. That's going to happen. Now, also, as a result of anxiety and adversity, you might experience stress and worry. Stress and worry, they're kind of like kissing cousins. You have the anxiety, the adversity, and what do? Well, you stress and worry. Well, the anxiety and the adversity is inevitable. The stress and worry is optional. You don't have to stress and worry. That's optional, because we are in a battlefield, as we studied last time, or the time before, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says that we're soldiers in verse 4. We're in active service, which we saw that verse means you're in active military campaign. You're not sitting in the barracks. You're fighting. And who are you fighting? Well, you're fighting the cosmic system, because their view of life is very different than the Bible's view of life. And our young people are exposed to it all the time. They try to convince them that things that are abnormal are normal. Things that are evil are good. The Bible teaches the opposite. So again, somebody's wrong. Either the Word of God is wrong, or these people are wrong. But again, you can pretty much figure, because the Bible tells you that Satan is the ruler of the world. The world's not going to give you any information that you can find useful in your spiritual growth. The only information you're going to get that's going to be useful is from Bible doctrine. So anxiety and adversity are inevitable. Stress and worry, that's up to you. That's optional. But you might say, well, how do I not stress and worry when I get the anxiety and the adversity? Well, you learn the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. You learn Bible doctrine. You apply Bible doctrine to the problems, and that's it. Now, we have in our book a doctrine called problem-solving devices. And one of the problem-solving devices, of course, that you can apply in times of adversity, anxiety, is the personal sense of destiny. God put you here for a purpose. And the Bible teaches you that the purpose is, obviously, for you to grow up to spiritual maturity. That's how you glorify God. Anything the unbeliever can do is not the Christian way of life. And that's what most Christians are trying to do. They're trying to imitate the unbeliever. They think that's the Christian way of life. And they become more moral. They become whatever it is. They they go out and do social justice things. They help people do this and do that, all good things. But that's not spiritual food. Unbelievers can do all those things. So what does God expect of you? He expects you to do the supernatural life. And that is, they can't rebound and get in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. They're not in the family of God. And they cannot learn Bible doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that Bible doctrine is foolishness to the unbeliever. In fact, even salvation by grace is foolishness to them. You might have seen some of these people. They'll say, what? You mean I can be a bad person at the last second just believe in Christ and I'm saved? They reject it because, oh, that's too easy. You got to be good to be a Christian. No, you don't. Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't. And your idea of good, of course, is not God's idea of good. Look up the doctrine of good in your Bible. There's divine good and there's human good. So human good is not the Christian way of life. The Christian way of life is for you to learn the mind of Christ. So to get saved, I don't know, 2 minutes, you hear the gospel, I'll believe that Christ died for my sins. Now you're in the family of God. To reach maturity, you're not going to do that in 2 minutes. You're not going to do it in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. You might, if you go on a crash course, do it in 2 years. But most believers never do. They remain babies their entire life. They die and go to heaven, and they will receive minimum to zero eternal rewards. And most of them will have a life that's filled with anxiety and adversity, and they try to use defense mechanisms. They sublimate. They do this. They do that. They never apply Bible doctrine. But again, you can't apply Bible doctrine unless you know Bible doctrine. So if you know you have eternal security, isn't that relaxing? You can't get out. I mean, that's like 101. Nice thing to know. So we studied in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, for this reason I endure all things. Now, Paul is writing from prison right now, and he's undergoing great torture. He's about ready to be taken out, and he will be executed soon. The word for endure in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10 is hupomeno, which means to persevere. What does persevere mean? You don't stop. It's like the rain is coming, the snow is coming, the hail is coming. You just keep going. You do not stop. You do not let anything stop you from your goal. What's your goal? Well, your goal is to go from a baby to a mature believer. Let nothing stop you. And that's what Paul's saying. For this reason, I persevere. I persevere. I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. We studied this last time. God knew in eternity past that you would pop into existence. Let's say you came into this world in the year 2000. Nice round year. He knew before the world was created you would pop into the world in the year 2000. And of course, when Christ was on the cross 2,000 years ago, he knew you would come into the world. He knows all your sins you would ever do, past, present, and future. And God the Father judged in him all your sins 2,000 years ago. Those red dots coming down from above the board represents God the Father, who took every single sin that every human ever did, trillions and trillions and trillions of them, and he slammed him into Jesus' body in 30 AD, and Jesus Christ screamed and screamed and screamed for 3 hours as he bore the sins of the world. And you weren't even born yet. How about that? God knew all about you. And therefore, sin is never the issue in salvation. A lot of people say, we got to quit sinning to believe. No, you don't. You can't stop sinning to the day you die. As a born-again believer, you're still going to sin. But I've given you the secret of how you break the pattern. You just name the sin. You're back in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. You're walking by means of the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. You've heard all those passages. Most churches, they don't know what that means. They think it means some type of an emotional doing cartwheels down the stage. I'm filled with the Spirit. Yay! Or doing a tap dance or a rosy glow and smiling at everybody. Unbelievers can smile at everybody. It's nothing to do with emotion. You simply name it. And you endure. You move forward. So he says, for those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. So this has a double meaning. The word salvation is soter, and soter simply means to deliver. You start at A, and you're going to be sotered or soterion to B. That's all it means. I'm delivering you from one point to the other. So for you, you have 2 points. Here, you're an unbeliever, and he's going to deliver you into the family of God as a believer. As an unbeliever, you're in the family of Satan. You are saved, salvation, soterion, delivered. Also has another meaning. I'm going to deliver you from here as a baby believer to here. Depending on the context, you got to figure out, well, which one are they talking about? Here, they're talking about both. That's what Paul did. He said, I have arrived, and God has a plan for my life. And that plan, of course, as the chief apostle, was to open up these churches, spread these churches, train men that had the gift of pastor-teacher so they could teach you. So that, one, I can deliver you to salvation, and two, I can deliver you to spiritual maturity. And that's what he's saying here. And then he goes into a song. We don't really sing in this Bible class. We've been doing it for almost 15 years. I don't think we've ever broken out in song. There's nothing wrong with singing, but singing is a teaching tool. Many people can sing Amazing Grace. I have no idea what it means. Sounds good. They get very emotional and teary-eyed and look up to heaven and roll their eyes. What does it really mean? Well, it means you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't work for it. You're saved by grace, and this is grace too. The rebound technique is grace. But Christians will realize what grace is all about when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ after they die. For the first time in their life, they'll really understand that they wasted their entire time on this earth. Because Christ is going to ask you, did you do what I told you to do? I didn't tell you to make peanut butter sandwiches for the Ecuadorians or to do social justice for whatever it is. I didn't tell you to do that. What did I tell you to do? And if you've got to ask, oh Lord, what did you tell me to do? You already know you didn't do it. What did he tell you to do? He told you to grow in the grace by means of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He told you to grow up, just like your parents tell you, grow up. And how do you do that? Again, it's the spiritual food of Bible doctrine. So here he has a song. Now this song, starting in verse 11, Paul may have written this song. And singing is a good teaching tool. There's nothing wrong with it. We might break out in a song one of these days. I don't know. We don't have a song master here and sing a couple of songs. But the book of Psalms in your Bible, do you know that was all set to music? Every word in the book of Psalms was set to music. They had a beautiful choir that would sing these songs. We don't have the music anymore. So what's more important, the music or the words? The words. The words. So anyway, the song starts out. The title of the song is called, It is a Trustworthy Statement. And literally that means, faithful is the word. It's pistos ho logos. That's if you see the English words, it's a trustworthy statement. The Greek is just pistos ho logos. Pistos means faithfulness. Ho, the, logos, word. So faithful is the word. What is the word? Jesus Christ is the word. This book, this Bible right here, is a textbook. It's not a good luck charm. And you cannot master the textbook without what? Study. That's why we quote in this Bible class before we kick off the class, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's from the Bible. That's your command. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, because you're a workman, you're building something. But if you're a workman that builds something that's crappy, you're going to be ashamed. I was trying to shorten my son's stool up in Waco because I bought him a bar stool. And so I had him sit in it, took it out to the balcony, cut off an inch and a half on one side, cut off an inch and a half on the other, turned it around, but I turned it the wrong way, so I cut off another inch and a half on the one that I already cut. So I was ashamed. I said a couple of choice words, rebounded, and there you go. Yes. I didn't study the thing. I did too fast, too much of a hurry. So yes, it requires effort. And then the song starts out. For if we died with him, that's a first class condition. In the Greek, there's four translations for the word if. In the English, just one. Greek is much more precise. The first class condition would be properly translated here. It says, if we died with him, if and we did. This is retroactive positional truth. At the moment you believe in Christ, you are literally said to be positionally, you're in heaven already. It's a positional truth. You're in, and you can't get out. Experientially, yeah, you're right here. Experientially, that means in time, you're sitting in this chair. But positionally, you're in. So it says, if, and it's true, we died with him, which is true, we will also live with him. Well, what does that mean? Eternal life. You have eternal life right now. You will live with your Creator forever and ever and ever in a world, in a universe that's going to be new and beyond our comprehension. People always want to wonder, what's heaven like? I can't tell you. The Bible says it is not entered into the brain of a human what it's like, but it's wonderful beyond your imagination. So this is the guarantee. If we died with him, and we did, in other words, we're born again Christians, we will also live with him. Verse 12, if we endure, and that's the same word we just saw in verse 10, that's hupomeno, which means to persevere. Because right now, you're in the mortal body. If we endure, we will also reign with him. That's sum basileo. And that means rewards. You will reign. If you're a mature believer, when Christ returns at the second advent, all believers come with him. He cast off all unbelievers off the earth and all demons. And then the 1,000 years starts the millennium. All the believers in resurrection bodies do not remain on the earth. Very few remain. But those that reach maturity will reign with him for 1,000 years. And I expect all of you to be, you know, rulers in the millennium. You'll be in a resurrection body, but there will be mortal humans on the earth. Those that are alive at the second advent that are believers, they will live a very long time. They will have a lot of children. And you will be ruling over them. Christ will rule from Jerusalem, but it's a system of hierarchy. And so you might be ruling Louisiana or Belgium or whatever. And you'll be responsible. You'll be in a resurrection body, but you'll reign with Christ. The Bible says right there, if we endure, in other words, we persevere, we reach maturity, we will also reign with him. These are rewards. And then it says, verse 12, if it continues, if we deny him. Now that's a third class condition. That means maybe you will and maybe you won't. While you're in this mortal body, I can't tell you what you're going to do. You don't even know what you're going to do. But here it says, if we, third class condition, which means maybe you will, maybe you won't, deny him. And that's R-A-A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. R-N-E-O-M-I. Which means, interesting translation for that word, deny. The Greek translation is to disregard his own interest or to prove false to self. That's you. You're disregarding your, it's in your best interest to reach maturity. And you disregard it, you're proving false to yourself. This is a believer that turns their back on the Word of God. They don't want to know anything about Jesus at all. So there's two categories of those believers. Most of them, the common variety is, once they're saved, they do their first sin, they'll spend their entire life here. They never learn any Bible doctrine. Oh, I know, they go to church every Sunday. You don't learn nothing. You don't know nothing. It's impossible for you to learn anything because nobody's teaching you anything at most churches, most of them. And so they're casualties. But then there's some of them. I'm drawing on the board XYZ. X is when you're born of this world, an unbeliever. Y is when you're born again. And Z is when you reach maturity. And there's progressive growth stages along the way, just like growing up. Baby, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, same with spiritual life. As a baby, a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you progress as you learn more and more about God. Some believers will start out and they'll learn a little bit of Bible doctrine. And then they turn away. It's called reversionism. And that's who we are addressing primarily here. Because Paul had opened up a lot of churches and he taught a lot of Bible doctrine. And a lot of people were very positive for a little while. And then they stopped. They just turned away. They peeled away. So if we deny him, this is a believer that denies Jesus Christ. This is a believer, the worst case, they actually reject Christ. They stand up on top of this building and say, I'm no longer a Christian. I'm now a Buddhist. I just reject all that. I've gone into the world. I think what God wants me to do is to be a better person, live my best life. That's what I'm going to do. They reject Bible doctrine. They totally turn against it. They have denied him. They deny Jesus Christ. We said another passage in the Bible where it says that believers deny the Lord that bought them. So a believer can do this. They do it all the time. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Uh-oh. He will deny us. Context is everything here. What is he going to deny us? Rewards. You will receive no rewards. Oh, you'll be in heaven because you can't lose your salvation, as we're going to see in a second. But you won't reign with Christ. You will have no rewards. You'll be a private for all eternity. not a general, as God wants you to be, a private. So he will also deny us. Verse 13, if we are faithless, that's a third class condition again. Faithless is the believer that says, I have nothing to do with Bible doctrine at all. Nothing. I don't like it. In fact, many believers hate Bible doctrine. They hate it because it's different from what they think the Bible should say. And they're living in idolatry. They think because I think this way, God thinks that way. It don't work that way. You must think the mind of Christ. So if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He remains. That word remain is meno, M-E-N-O, which means he cannot depart. So if we turn against God, he remains faithful to you. Why? For he cannot deny himself. And the word faithful is pistos. God cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. You're his child. So before we close, we'll use that analogy we always use. We got some children here today that are very good. Haven't heard a peep out of them. Now, suppose we'll fast forward. And, you know, mothers, grandmothers, fathers, suppose 10 years from now I come up to you and say, is that your child? They're doing 20 years in the penitentiary. What would you say? Yeah, that's my child. They'll always be your child, no matter what they do. What if the other child cures cancer? You're probably going to talk about the child that cures cancer more than the one in the penitentiary. Do you love them both the same? Yes, you do, if you're a good parent. God loves all his children exactly the same. He loves the loser believer. When I say loser believer, that's the one that stopped learning Bible doctrine, that's faithless. As much as he loves the believer that reaches here, why does he love equally the two believers? That's the reason. If the second you're born again, one of the 40 things you receive is you receive his righteousness. And God looks into your soul and sees himself, and you're in. And you'll always be in. Now, God is a good parent. He wants all his children to cure cancer and reach the highest levels. But they don't. What's the fly in the ointment? They don't want it. They simply do not want it. They do not want to do what God told them to do. And what did he tell you to do? Again, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what God wants you to do. And your greatest enemy is you. It's not Satan. It's you. Just like students. Why did I get the F on my test? Look in the mirror. That's why you got it. You. It always boils down to you. When I say you, I mean me as well. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word this morning. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen.